おはようございます。Good morning in Japanese. Shall we stand and read scripture together? We are reading from Luke chapter 2, verse 22 to 40. On the count of three, one, two, three. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what the customs of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for salvation to Gentiles, and the glory of your people, Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying, coming up to them at the very moment. She gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Amen. Please be seated. So we are now entering into the last month of the year. Can you turn to your neighbor and say, last month already? 2019 has come and gone just like that. It's a blur. I myself like, wow, where did the year go? So I'm just shocked that we're almost at the year end. In the next 4 weekends, we are looking at a new series called Advent, An Invitation to Christmas. And this weekend in particular, we're looking at the theme called Hope. And this series is for us to remind us as Christians the posture that we should take in this season of Advent, a posture of hope, a posture of joy, a posture of love and peace, as we reflect on Jesus Christ coming on earth as we celebrate his birth on Christmas Day. You know, we're seeing all the decorations coming up in the shopping malls. We're hearing Christmas carols and Christmas songs being played in the radios, in the malls. We are becoming a bit more festive. And unfortunately, we are still not in the right posture, in the right frame of mind to receive Jesus. Because Advent talks about receiving and welcoming the Christ. And in the receiving and the welcoming of Christ, there's also a part of waiting as well. Because we are waiting in anticipation for the coming of Christ. So, we will look at Simeon and Anna this morning to learn about how they were able to wait for the promise given to them and keep their hope alive. Let me show you a video. Can the video be played right now?
Hey, what's this?
Candy.
Candy, okay. Okay, I put it here.
Yeah.
Okay. if you wait for 5 minutes, then you go out the room, then you take 5 candies.
Yeah.
But you cannot take this one. Then, because I give, if you take this one, I don't give you 5 candies. But if you don't take this one, I give more candy. Okay?
Yeah.
You okay? Okay. Don't touch, huh? Okay? Natasha, then you go out for a while. Then you go and take more candy.
Well, he couldn't wait. He went to find the parents. Now, how many of you will be like the child? You're able to wait. Kenna, if you're a 2.5-year-old child, it's very difficult to wait. And I think all of us can identify with this video. I think most of us struggle with waiting. So the moral of the story here is that waiting is actually very, very difficult. Can you say waiting is hard? Waiting is very, very hard. Especially more so in this day and age where technological advances are so much part of our lives. How many of you, have Googled for information? I'm sure you have, right? Yes. How many of you have recently bought things online? Yesterday was Black Friday sale, Black Friday sale. And then 2 weeks ago was 11/11. How many of you bought certain things online? Yes. How many of you have pressed a button to order food for the food to be delivered to your house? We all have, right? Most of us have. So all of these conveniences is great, but it causes us to be a little bit more impatient. When we have to wait, we will begin to complain a little bit more, we begin to criticize a little bit more, we become a little bit more ungrateful. And let's look at what the Bible says about waiting. In Psalms 5 verse 3, it says, "In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait expectantly. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him." Psalms 37, verse 7a. "But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." So we see that when we are impatient, our focus is on ourselves. When we are impatient, the focus is on our needs, our circumstance, our surrounding. But here we see the psalmist and Isaiah, when they talk about waiting, Waiting is about waiting expectantly for God to speak, waiting patiently, and just waiting on the Lord. So waiting is not just doing nothing, waiting for God to answer prayer, but waiting in expectance, waiting patiently. So God and wait has a lot, it's synonymous. When God says do something, when you say something, we have to wait. So waiting is part and parcel of the nature of God. So what is the big idea for this weekend? The big idea is hope in the posture of waiting. So we want to learn from the lives of Simeon and Anna what was their posture of waiting demonstrated by Simeon and Anna as they held on to the hope that God had given them. The first is devotion to God. Simeon and Anna, they were devoted to God. And this posture of devotion can be seen in their personal relationship with God. Both of them had a very, very intimate relationship with God. As you can see here in Luke 2, verse 25a, now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. Simeon was a priest in the temple. As a priest, every day he had to read the Torah. He had to offer sacrifices. Now, this could be a duty to him, but this also was a personal relationship between him and God. He did it dutifully before the Lord, faithfully before the Lord. So he had a personal relationship with God. Likewise for Anna as well. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Now, it was interesting to note that this was the time where God did not speak for 400 years. This was the 400 years of silence. If you recall from the last book in the Old Testament, from Malachi to the days of Jesus, God remained silent. He did not speak through prophets to the nation of Israel, to the Jews in particular. But at the same time, God still spoke to individuals like Simeon and Anna. So friends, God may not speak to a certain group, may not speak over a period of time through prophets, but God still speaks through to you. God spoke through Simeon through the Torah. We have the Word of God. God will speak to you through the Word as well. God will speak to you personally. If you look at Psalms 130, it says, I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in His Word I put my hope. And the next scripture, it says, yet you desire faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Now this Psalms here shows that God desires intimacy between you and I. He desires a personal relationship with you and I. So every one of you, God desires a personal relationship. So can you turn to your neighbor and say, you as well? You too. Yesterday, I got the opportunity to marry a couple, and this couple is a couple that's very dear to me and my wife. So when we married them yesterday, they were in love, very much in love. The wedding was spectacular. The ceremony was so meaningful. Dinner was fun. It's a great start in the marriage. But a great start in marriage doesn't mean that the marriage will continue to do well, because it requires both the couple, both husband and wife, to invest in their personal relationship with each other. And likewise, the same as well with God, it requires our personal relationship with God. Now this is very, very, it sounds very basic and very fundamental. Yes, it is very, very basic. There is no escaping it. If you want to know God as our hope, we have to continue to trust in Him. So we must have a personal relationship with God. Now, while they had a personal relationship with God, Simeon and Anna too, they were led by the Holy Spirit. Both of them, they recognized the voice of God. They knew the voice of God personally. And how so? It had been revealed to him, this is Simeon, by the Holy Spirit, that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Wow, that's amazing. This is a promise of God given to Simeon, that you would see the Messiah in person. And then, one day, as he was going about his merry way, one day, the Holy Spirit says, moved by the Holy Spirit, he went into the temple courts. He was led by the Holy Spirit to go to the temple. Why? I don't think he knew, but he was led by the Holy Spirit to the temple and obviously there to see baby Jesus and Joseph and Mary as well. And for Anna, she came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph. And she began praising God. Now, this came along. It's not, oh, by the way, oh, what a coincidence to see you here. No, it is not a coincidence because the Holy Spirit led her as well to where Simeon, Joseph, and Mary were with Jesus. So in life, actually, there is actually very little things to do with coincidence. We are all led by the Spirit. Just that sometimes we are not aware because we are not listening to His voice. We're not aware of what He's saying to us. Now, both Simeon and Anna were able to do so because they had a personal relationship with God. And in doing so, they recognized the voice of God and they obeyed when instructed. Now, having said that, we may recognize the voice of God. We may spend time with Him. We may know that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. But at the same time, we can choose not to obey as well. A while back, I live in an apartment on the 15th floor, and I was making my way to church for work, and I entered the elevator, and I noticed a gentleman, a very burly, muscular gentleman, and immediately this word came to me, lonely, make friends with him. And I said, God, I don't want. This was in my mind. God, I don't want. If I make friends with him, means I must spend time with him. Spend time with him means I must go out and yamta with him. I must go and see him. Some of this is in the same condo. I don't want. I was rationalizing this in my head. And then I was going to the third floor. So as I was thinking all this in my head, the door opened and I walked out. Went to my car and drove to work. And the Holy Spirit convicted me and said, see, you can pick and choose to do what I say. When I say something for you to do, you pick and choose for your own convenience, for your own personal benefit. And friends, this may be true for you as well. While we have known the voice of the Holy Spirit, He has spoken to you, and you have obeyed in the past, and you've obeyed even right now. But sometimes, we choose not to obey. And there are many, many instances in the Bible where the characters in the Bible, they chose not to obey. Moses, for example. David, for example, comes to mind. Who else? Oh, Lord. A lot that came to mind. So, take heart. You're not alone. But we're in this journey together of learning how to obey the voice of God. So the first is devotion to God. The second is the posture of waiting is reflected in their trust and confidence in God. Trust and confidence in God. Now they were not shaken by personal crisis. We look at Anna. Anna was very old. She had lived with her husband for only 7 years after her marriage. And then she was a widow until she was 84. She was a widow for a very, very, very long time. Having to lose her husband at such a young age, and then all her future is like dash. She has lost all hope in the future. And in the days of Jesus, for a woman to be a widow is actually difficult. You're expecting a difficult life ahead. But she has the option to go and marry her husband's brother if she wants to. But if not, her life can be very, very challenging. So this was a personal crisis that she faced at a very, very young age. So she, at the same time, she chose to go to the temple and be with and serve and worship God 24 hours, 7 days a week. That's really, really amazing. So she put her trust in God, and she was not shaken by personal challenge that came her way. And there's so much for us to learn about trusting in God and not be shaken by our circumstances in life. So this is, the first is not shaken by personal challenges. The other is, they were not shaken by crisis in the nation. But this was during a time, as I say, the 400 years of silence. There were many things that happened during the 400 years. There was a shift in power from the east to the west. This means that the Persians was the last ruling empire in the east. They were soon overtaken by the Greeks, by Alexander the Great. Then eventually they were overtaken by the Romans. So they were seeing a shift in ruling powers, also seeing a shift in culture and values as well. They're also seeing a shift in language. So Greek became the official language during the time of Jesus. So if you are, you have to learn Greek to be able to live. And so there were a lot of changes during the time. Now this was more in the national front. As well, also among the Jews, there will begin to take rise as well to different parties as well. So you have the Pharisees now. You have a group called the Sadducees. You have a group called the Essenes. Now the Pharisees are this group of people that held on to Jewish customs to the T. They observe every single Jewish custom. And then you have the Sadducees. Now the Sadducees are also Jews. They are the more liberal Jews. They have adopted some of the Greek culture and ways, and they were more open to things. Now the Essenes were the more extreme. They wanted to overthrow the Roman Empire. So there's these three groups here vying for support and vying for the support of the Jews. So among the nation of Israel, there was a lot of turmoil as well. There's a lot of turmoil, uncertainty. And for a Jew, growing up in a country of Israel during that time, it can be very, very daunting and very, very challenging. So as I was reading this text here and studying the culture of the days back then, I'm reminded of my nation, Malaysia, of Malaysia. I'm very thankful for this nation. I'm so grateful of where God has placed me as a Malaysian. Does Malaysia have flaws? Yes, she has her flaws. But there's so much to be grateful for and so much to be thankful for. Do you all agree? Yes? Are you proud Malaysians? You love your nation? Let's continue to pray for our nation, amen? Yeah, so while we are not in crisis, but they were in crisis, and yet Simeon and Anna were not shaken. So when you hear of things of our nation, do not be shaken. Perhaps God is doing something behind the scenes. God is doing something that we may not understand. But what we can do is we can continue to pray and uphold our nation of Malaysia. Amen? So the first posture of waiting is seen in the devotion of Anna and Simeon. The second is seen in the posture of their trust and confidence that they had in God. And the third one is the gratitude that they had in God. They were grateful to God. Now, why? So when Simeon saw Jesus, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people, Israel." When Simeon saw Jesus, he saw not only a baby, it was revealed to him that he saw Jesus as the Savior. So when he saw Jesus, all he could do was to give thanks and to worship. Can you recall the day when you encountered Christ for the first time? Do you recall the day you met Christ for the first time? What was your posture? Were you happy? Were you thankful? Were you thankful for this hope that you have? So Simeon encountered the hope not only for himself, not only the hope for Israel, but the hope for all mankind. And that's why he could say, "Lord, my eyes have seen your salvation. All I can do is give you thanks." And what about Anna? Coming up to Jesus at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption. Now, after she had seen Jesus, she went around telling that, "I have encountered the salvation, the redemption of Jerusalem. I have encountered," because she's seen the hope and she was excited, and she went around telling other people as well. So in this day of Advent, when you've encountered hope, which is found in Christ, our posture should be like Anna too, going around and sharing with people this hope, this redemption that we have encountered. So this posture that I'm encouraging us all to take is that, let's take a step back. Let's not be caught up in the hustle and bustle of life, because oftentimes we lose focus on who Christ is, because the focus is on ourselves. So let's be grateful that we have encountered Christ. And I'd like to just invite Andy here together with the bag. I'm going to show you an illustration. Yeah. Give us some time as they set up. Now what you're going to see here is a lot of bags, and every bag here represents some of the challenge or issues that we face in life. So here's a bag. In life, maybe this year I've encountered in my relationship with my wife, in my relationship with my wife, we have some disagreement, and things are not good. Things are on the rocks. So this issue here with my wife is burdensome to me right now. So I'm carrying this throughout this year. All right, and then along the way, I've got challenges at work. I got challenges with my bosses, challenges with my colleagues. The project that I'm involved doesn't seem to make headway. So this is my issue as well. And come along, then I find out that I have health issues. My blood pressure is high. I've got hypertension. This is a challenge now. So one Sunday I come up here for prayer. Pastor Chris M, can you pray for me? So Pastor Chris prays for me, prays for my marriage. Nothing seems to be improving after the prayer, but this thing is wearing down on me as well. But then I go on with life as well. And then one Sunday I come and hear one pastor sharing about, "Why don't you wait on the Lord? Go for prayer meetings." So I go for prayer meetings. I pray. But this is still holding me down. I'm bogged down. And then something else happened in life. I hear of news of someone that's close to me passing away. And it shatters my world. And it's so heavy upon me. I can't trust, I can't hope. People say, trust in God, hope in God, but all these things is weighing me down. What do I do? And this is already in August. I am just weary, I'm tired. I don't know if I can keep going on. I'm just so exhausted. And then another issue comes. I have no money, example. Money is running dry. So it's another burden I'm carrying. So I don't know what to do. I can't think of another example. But you get what I mean. You get what I mean, right? So this is my Christian life. Could it be your Christian life as well? Could it be? But Jesus says that in 1 Peter 5 verse 7, cast all your cares, all your anxieties, all your burdens upon me. Come, let's be Jesus for a while. So, what we should do, because all this while, our focus, while we want to focus on God, we're not able, because we are just bogged down by Jesus. When we say, wait on the Lord, read the Bible, you do it, but you're just so bogged down until we learn to begin to pass all this to Jesus. All your issues, your relationship issues with your spouse, your work. Don't strangle me. So I pass all this to Jesus. Now, are these issues still with me? Yes. Has it been resolved? Not yet, but I've passed on to Jesus, and now I can learn to wait upon the Lord. I can learn now to rest and let my heart be troubled. And this is exactly the sermon series for this weekend, Advent, an invitation to Christmas, where you learn to pass on all your weight in life or challenges that you face in life to Jesus, so that you can learn now to come to the posture of waiting and receiving Jesus for who He is. You may be saying, I am so weary. I don't have the energy. I'm so tired. I'm at wit's end. I don't know what to do anymore. You know, a weak, simple yes is all it takes. A simple yes, it may be a very weak yes, is all it takes for Jesus to say, come, I will take it from you. You don't have to portray yourself as a strong Christian. You're doing well. Just a simple yes to Jesus saying that, yes, Lord, this is who I am. I am totally exhausted. I have done so much wrong in the past. I'm ashamed of my life. Just say, yes, Lord, here's my life. And Jesus will come and take away all your burdens. As you learn to begin to trust in God and hope in God, you will begin to see things begin to transform and take shape in your life. And this is why we can be hopeful, even this Advent season in life. So my challenge to you this morning, friends, if you are in this state, you find that hope is a bit distant and far, perhaps can I ask you now to shift your gaze from your circumstance now to Christ and just say, yes, Lord, yes, come, here is my life. A simple yes, a weak yes, but it's still a yes, Lord. Will you come? Come, come. Like us all, that's to close your eyes and learn to wait upon Jesus even this morning and ask Him, what is He saying to you? The Holy Spirit is here. He's talking to you. Let's learn to be comfortable with silence. I'd like to make a call for those who may have heard about this Jesus for the first time, for the very first time, and this message of hope for the first time. You have the opportunity and the privilege to know this Jesus. He is a hope. You know, hope is not in the absence of difficulties or challenge. And hope is not a methodology or a process that we take. Hope is not found in things or men. Hope is only found in Christ, who is the Son of God and also the Son of Man. So with all eyes closed, if this morning you say, yes, yes, I want to know this Jesus, will you be so bold to raise your hands while all eyes are closed? So in this sanctuary today, everyone is a believer. Can I just ask us all to stand? And before we sing this song, I'd like to open and extend an invitation for all of you who are weary and tired and you're just overwhelmed by the cares of this world. Will you come to the front and ask the Lord just to meet and encounter you where you are? And that you learn to give your burdens to Jesus even this morning. There will be someone who will be praying for you. Come, any form of ministry that you need, that you desire, please come to the front as we sing and worship.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Will you please make your way to the front? Holy Spirit is here to meet you, to just encourage you. If there's a need for healing, a need for prayer in any area, do come to the front as well. Because Christ is our living hope. Christ, our glorious hope. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Another posture that we can learn from Simeon and Anna is to worship. Is to worship in the midst of uncertainties. When things are down, we look not to ourselves, we look to Jesus. Today as we sing this song, Our Living Hope, we will sing in worship and adoration to Jesus, that Jesus, you are our living hope.
Hallelujah.
Come on, UMC, raise your voice, raise your hands and declare, you are our living hope.
Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my
last time. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus
you come to the front for prayer, for ministry. Please allow me to close right now. Shall we all close our eyes and lift our hands to the Lord in peace? To Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority, to Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. And everyone say, Amen. Amen.